Welcome to Building the Future, hosted by Kevin Horick. With millions of listeners a month, Building the Future has quickly become one of the fastest rising programs, with a focus on interviewing startups, entrepreneurs, investors, CEOs, and more. The radio and TV show airs in 15 markets across the globe, including Silicon Valley. For full showtimes, past episodes, or to sponsor the show, please visit buildingthefutureshow.com.
Do you have an app idea that you've been dreaming about but don't know how to actually start building it? Use Bubble. I've been using Bubble for a number of years now. It's an extremely powerful no-code platform that enables you to build, launch, and scale real products without investing thousands of dollars on engineers, designers, or spending time trying to code it yourself. Use Bubble's visual drag-and-drop tool to create really anything from marketplaces, SaaS products, and so much more. Join over 2 million people, including myself, already using Bubble to launch and grow businesses. Welcome back to the show. Today we have Farzad Rashidi. He's the lead innovator at Respana. Farzad, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on the show. I think what you guys are doing at Respana is really innovative and cool. And I think a lot of people don't understand how important and useful what Respana does can be for their company. But maybe before we get into all that, let's get to know you a little bit better and start off with where you grew up.
Sure. So I'm actually originally Iranian and lived there. Actually, I was born and raised till I was a teenager and I moved here when I was in high school age.
Got it. Okay. So you went to university. What did you take and why?
I did business administration. So it was kind of a, I was originally a biology major and growing up, my parents always said, hey, you're smart. You gotta be a doctor. That's like a stereotypical like Persian parents kind of like ingraining us in your brain. They'd like, sure, you've got to become a doctor. And I, to be honest, just didn't like it. I mean, I was doing well, academically, but it's just I could never see myself looking at medicine as a career. I mean, it's a very respectable job, and I always, you know, have high regard for doctors, just not something that I wanted to do. So I got involved with, I was always in tech, and you know, I was kind of doing some electrical engineering programming growing up, you know, middle school, high school age, and went to some competitions. So I always had a passion for technology. But I didn't, again, want to do that as a career per se. I wanted to kind of have a little bit, have a broader perspective, and build a tech startup or company. And that was always really my goal, and be tech savvy enough to understand, to hire people that are smarter than me to actually put the building blocks together, right? And so I started actually interning at a company called VisMe at the time. It was a very tiny startup when I was in college. And that sort of led me to become their first marketing hire at a school, and basically got promoted director of marketing. And you know, VisMe was a wildly successful startup. They got over 18 million active users. We're getting close to about 4 million in monthly organic traffic, over 100 team members.
Wow.
So that was basically the journey there. So got quite lucky there to kind of get involved with the right team at the right time.
Very cool. Okay. So you were there for a while. What made you actually decide and start doing Respana?
So it is interesting. So when I joined VisMe, we are still to this day a bootstrap company. So we never raised any outside funding. And as you know, in the software space, it's quite difficult to compete with folks that, you know, are going to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. So my job was basically to build a customer acquisition strategy. It's not to just get a few customers here and there, but to basically build a pipeline of evergreen flow of customers. So sure. There's a few channels traditionally where basically a lot of software companies acquire their customers. One, the first thing that's probably popping to mind is cold outreach, right? So going door to door, start selling. And problem with that, it works very well. The units, the economics of it works only if you're selling a product that is of high LTVs, as in right. numerical values, right? So basically, if you're selling an expensive product, then it makes sense to hire US-based SDRs and AEs, right? To do, you know, cold outbound outreach and kind of do demos and onboardings and contracts and whatnot. And Visme as a product was a very affordable software. I think at the time it was like $15 a month. Oh, now it's like starting like $20-something a month. So it just never makes sense for us to do outbound. I mean, obviously nowadays we're experimenting with it for some of the enterprise customers. But again, this is, at the time, was not something that was worth the effort outside of, you know, just getting user feedback and just proof of concept. Another channel is paid advertising. And as anybody who's ever tapped into paid advertising, everything looks great on surface, right? So you're like, great, I can just go and target my ideal customers and pay a few dollars to get a conversion. And it just doesn't work that way when you do it. It's funny in real life. Don't want to dive too deep into this, but basically what I found with paid ads is that there is some diminishing return over time when it comes to that return on investment. So basically, to put it simply, if you double your conversions, if you double your budget, you normally don't get double the conversions. So at some point, your LTV, which is your lifetime value of customer, catches up with their cost of acquisition or CAC very rapidly. And then anything above that, even if you just increase the budget, you're just going to take a loss on conversions. So at some point, you're going to tap those out. And we still do some paid ads up to this day, you know, some retargeting campaigns and whatnot, but it's very minuscule compared to our size, just simply because they use a bidding system. And what happens is that over time, the cost of acquisition, cost per clicks rise rapidly. Like it's been tripled over the past 2-3 years. So wasn't really a reliable channel. Also, as a bootstrap company, we didn't have the cash to pour it all into paid ads, right?
Got it.
I still had to meet payroll and, you know, R&D and all sorts of things. So what we basically ended up doing was understanding where our customers were and started showing up in places where they were looking for us, instead of us having to go and like push ourselves in front of them, right? Or chase after every customer.
So can I interrupt you there?
Go ahead.
How did you do that or figure that out? Because that's really challenging. It sounds so simple, but it's right. really difficult.
Exactly. So here's exactly what we did. So Kevin, you are a potential customer for Visme, right?
Sure.
So let's say you are looking to create an infographic for this podcast and you want to publish it somewhere.
Okay.
And you like to look for a solution that helps you do it. What's the first thing you do to find a solution?
Google.
What do you Google?
I guess it depends, but for the most part, you'd just ask for like, you know, templated graphic or podcast templated graphic or something mm-hmm. like that.
There you go. So you just answered your own question. So we knew that basically, okay, our customers, it's the type of product that you normally Google to find.
Right.
So it was a matter of figuring out, okay, what are they Googling? And how do we get ourselves up there? Because normally when you Google a term, there's a bunch of ads at the top. We normally skip those, right? And you go through the organic search results, find a couple of products, take a look at the landing page, and you sign up, right? And so that customer journey or that buyer journey for us was kind of pretty much clear from at the very beginning of the creation of the company. And again, this is not to say this is the right channel for everybody, right? So that's why I kind of went through the exercise with you, because one, you are aware of the problem you're solving, and two, you're looking for it on Google. And those are really two key questions to ask before you start investing in SEO, because, for example, one of my friends is a director of marketing at a medical device company. Okay. And then she asked me, she was like, so far as we really want to invest in our SEO this year. And so what do you recommend we do? Recommend us to do? And I was like, okay, what's the average deal size? They're like, well, about 100K plus. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who do you sell to? They're like, well, our like hospitals normally and like other facilities. And I'm like, are these people Googling? to find a solution to buy a $100,000, like, for example, MRI machine. And they're like, no. I'm like, then why are you looking to invest in SEO? You got to go where your customers are hanging out. Maybe the right channel for you guys is to go on events, conferences. Maybe it's to go hire salespeople, go door to door, right? If you sell, for example, t-shirts and shirts, any sort of lifestyle product, right? Nobody's going to Google to find a hoodie, right? You got to go to retail stores and try to get your, or do e-commerce, maybe Facebook ads, or hire some TikTok influencers. I don't know. Just go where your customers are hanging out. So the type of product you sell is going to determine what channel is going to work for you. It just so happened that the type of product that we sell at Visme was a prime candidate for SEO as the main customer acquisition strategy.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Interesting. Okay. So how did that lead into Respona?
So what happened was that it's a lot easier said than done getting ourselves up in the search results. So, you know, sure, Kevin, can you do this for me?
Sure.
Just one of our main keywords, for example, is presentation software, right?
Okay.
So if you go on Google right now, just open a little incognito tab and,
incognito,
so your existing search.
Yeah.
And then just go ahead and look up a keyword like presentation software.
Of course, I can never type when people are watching or listening. Okay, it's up. No.
Okay, so you see how right underneath the search bar, it tells you how many web results, like it found, like about how many search results are there? How many zeros do you see?
Nine zeros?
That's right. So 1 billion search results.
Over a billion. It's just,
That's right.
1 billion, 20.
20 billion and 70 million, right?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so you see some ads at the top, so skip those. What do you see like in the organic search results that you actually would click on?
The first one is Visme.co 15 best presentation softwares for 2023, full comparison guide, and then Zapier.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's think about this for a second logistically, all right? So let's say out of this 1 billion, we all know most websites aren't good, right? So like, let's say if you did your best, create the fastest, prettiest, most user-friendly website that's in the top 1%, right? I guess we can all agree at top 1% of websites, it's pretty damn good, right?
100%, yep.
When there are a billion search results you're competing with, top 1% is nothing. You're selling them tens of millions, right?
Yeah.
So basically, what we had to figure out was to understand, okay, so these are our target keywords. And again, by the way, I don't recommend folks to go after the parent keywords from day one. So normally, there's a state, it's like a different phases of building authority for your website over time. Like you normally start with less competitive, more long tail versions of your keywords, and you kind of work your way up from there. But just to kind of stick to the principles, we don't want to dive too deep into the topic, but we had to figure out how Google works as a search engine. And that algorithm basically determines what we need to do in order to come across as an authoritative resource. And I can dig a little deeper, but I want to pause really quick just to give you a chance to see if how deep you want me to get into this.
No, I think keep going. This is good.
Okay. So the year was 1990. Let's go back to the 90s. You know, Kevin, you're a young guy, so you probably don't remember.
Well, I'm 40, but yeah, I remember.
40's young. 40's young. Anyway, so back in the late 90s, like Google wasn't the king of search engines at 100%, the time. Yeah. There was, you know, AOL and Yahoo and Bing and there's a bunch of other ones. So that didn't have major market share. And what they come up with, so what happened at the time, the search engines, the way they work was basically all based on the content on the web page. So you go and look up a phrase or a keyword, and then go look at their index and see, okay, what other web pages have this keyword in there that is most likely caters to this intent? And then we just show this website. And since marketers ruin everything, people would just stuff keywords on their web page, right? So just do shady stuff. So they just repeat the same keyword like 10,000 times. And then the search engines would. So what happened is that the quality of search results was quite low.
Yeah.
So what Google did, they're like, okay, so let's introduce a new variable. So instead of just relying on on-page metrics, which is, you know, how good is your website or how good is your content? And now recently how fast it loads and how whether it's responsive, all that stuff. Aside from that, because those are all under your control and anybody can do it. Let's also add a popularity metric. So for your website, we can see how popular Kevin is. And if other relevant authoritative resources in your niche, in your space, are talking about you and referencing you, then we put a lot more weight on this website to get up in the search results. So that that basically was the backstory of creating the creating this algorithm called PageRank at the time, which I thought it was because you rank different web pages. That's what they call it, PageRank. But it's actually because Larry Page, the founder of Google, actually invented this. That's why they call it PageRank. Fun fact. But anyway, That radically improved the Google search results quality. And that's why everyone started using Google as their main search engine, just because they could get their answers quickest, fastest, and from authoritative sites. And that's where sort of the concept of backlinks came to be, is that basically it's just saying how popular you're, kind of like a Mean Girls popularity contest. The more relevant authoritative sources are linking to you and talking about you, and these hyperlinks that you see across the web, it's kind of a vote to popularity. And that sends a signal to Google and now all the other search engines really that, hey, these must be an authoritative website and resource because other people are talking about it. And that sort of was kind of the backstory there.
Very cool. Okay. So what made you build software around this?
All right. So at VizMe, what I did, basically, we were like, okay, we know where our customers are hanging out. We know that they're Googling terms like these. And let's go just build a bunch of pages that caters to the search intent, right? So we went and built a bunch of landing pages and blog posts. And we were so excited to launch this like after a few months of writing. And we put it up there. And guess what happened?
Nothing happened.
Nothing.
Like that's a normal startup response.
That's right. Yes,
everybody thinks a million people are going to come day one.
Yeah, we showed up when we woke up in the morning. We're like, where are all these people? And so anyway, so it was just two people visiting the website, and there was one of them was me, and the other one my mom. And like, okay, we built all these pages, but none of them are getting ranking. They're just buried in the search results. So what we soon figured out is that, okay, we need to start reaching out to other websites in our space and collaborate with them and incentivize them to actually start talking about us. And what happened over time when we started investing in that effort significantly, it started trickling in a lot of mentions. And now, you know, a big part of it actually happens organically. So we still do quite a lot of outreach, but that kind of starts that, you know, that snowball effect, basically, where it's very difficult at the beginning and then it gets easier over time, of getting other people to talk about you and basically link back to your website. And that in and out of itself was basically the process that helped VizMe now get over close to about 4 million monthly organic visitors. Now, just to kind of put some dollar amounts behind it, let's say, Kevin, if I were to bring in the same level of traffic, same keywords, right, through Google Ads instead of our organic results, how much would you think we would have to pay Google on a monthly basis? Throw a number.
Probably like tens of thousands of dollars, potentially.
Tens of thousands. It would be around $1.7 million a month.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So paid advertising. Right. Because the cost per clicks of the keywords, some of them are like
$5. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
So basically now that effort is generating as $1.7 million a month worth of free advertising, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And along with, you know, obviously a myriad of other benefits like brand awareness and all that good stuff. But basically that effort was sort of, again, was a lot easier said than done, because we were like, okay, we need to reach out to the websites. What do we say to them? Who do we reach out to, right? Who's the right person? How do we contact them? So the concept, again, sounds easy on paper. When you actually start doing it, you soon realize that this is a very time-consuming, excruciatingly difficult process. So what we were doing at the time was just to basically duct tape a bunch of different tools. And what a lot of companies still do is like manually kind of doing things together. And there's a couple of tools out there, some legacy tools, and they're either like spam software on the one end of the spectrum, or they're just a manual CRM. So there wasn't really a software that would help us kind of keep a sense of scale, right? But at the same time, be personalized, because at the end of the day, we're in the business of building relationships, right? So
right.
That whole process was sort of done scattered across like a bunch of different tools. So what we did was to put together the whole process under one roof. We kind of duct taped together a internal software really to kind of help our team be more efficient and streamline the whole process from start to finish, from researching the type of website, to finding the right person, to getting the contacts, to sending them connection requests and outreach them on email, yada, 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 keep track of them. And that basically was that baby alpha version of Responda that was created internally, and it just worked ridiculously well. I can't quantify this, but like it literally 10x our productivity. So we're like, wow. Okay, guys, we've got something here. So we decided to release it as a standalone product, and that's sort of how Responda was born as a separate product out of Ismi.
Got it. Okay. So you obviously the company's been around a number of years now. What did it kind of, or how has it evolved to what it is today? And then let's cover some use cases of how to use the tool today. Because I think even just the four you have on your main website are interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. So, as any entrepreneur, we made a lot of mistakes at the beginning. Like one of the first things we did was just very unclear messaging. Like,
yeah, it's hard. That's so hard.
Yeah. So like people land on our website, they're like, what the heck is this? Like I remember like the first website we put together was like, it's like, don't spam, build relationships. Like that was like the title. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Like now looking back, it just sounds like stupid. Like it just so obvious, like in retrospect. But at the time we didn't really know like whether or not this was a big enough market. We didn't know who else we could help. And what we soon realized, well, not soon, obviously it took us months, but now in retrospect, looking back, we figured there's mainly two types of, I would say, businesses that benefit from our software a lot. One are other SaaS companies that rely on content marketing to bring in traffic and signups, right? And two are marketing agencies, SEO agencies that basically offer this as a service to other clients. So their clients could be e-commerce, SaaS, right? Or even some more traditional businesses, like, you know, mom and pop shops and smaller businesses. But those normally aren't as successful running these outreach campaigns because they're normally not as tech savvy per se. I don't want to disrespect anyone, but normally that's kind of the pattern that we've seen is that software companies do really well internally. But for other types of companies, normally it's best if they hire an agency to let them do it. And those agencies are normally our customers.
Got it. Okay. No, that makes sense. So can you maybe give us some use cases? Let's just go off the four you have on your homepage. Like walk us through some link building, podcast discovery, press inquiries, and affiliate recruitment. Because I think that covers the gamut of probably at least one of those or a few of those will hit with the listener. So do you maybe want to start with link building?
Sure.
I guess it's hard to talk visual on audio only things. So
right. No worries. I'm used to it. I've been doing these interviews for quite some time and I'll do my best to make sure I paint a good picture. And I'm also going to direct folks. So we actually have, as you mentioned on our website, Responda.com, R-E-S-P-O-N-A.com. The bottom of the page is something called an outreach strategy hub. And it basically is a step-by-step instructions to all the different link building outreach strategies that I'm going to talk about a couple of today. But if you guys want a resource that actually is visual and actually shows you, it's ungated. It's free. So you can just go open it up and literally start implementing them manually. You don't even need Responda for most of them. Like you can just do it yourself manually, right? It's just going to take a little bit more time. And whenever you're ready to scale things and you're actually ready to kind of take it to the next level, then obviously Responda would be a platform that helps you do it. But let's talk a little bit about a few practical examples, right, that folks can actually implement. So one of the simplest one I like to start with is what I'm doing right now, which is going on other people's podcasts as a guest. So that obviously, this is not to say that's the only reason why I'm here, Kevin.
I totally get it. Like it's beneficial for both of us, right?
Exactly. And that's the whole point of doing all of these outreach tactics. It's not to just take something from other people, it's to create mutually beneficial relationships, right? So
exactly.
So there's a myriad of benefit on going as a, on going as on podcast as a guest. One, I'm helping you create an episode, right? So I'm, yeah. I'm basically helping you create a piece of content for you. And so that, well, I'm spending an hour of my time, right, going and doing that for you. So that's, here's what's in it for you. What's in it for me is a few things. One, I'm getting to meet smart people like yourself, right? So Kevin's my buddy now, right? We're now connected on LinkedIn and we chat over email, right? And yeah. And that relationship means a lot in the long run when you meet other fellow like-minded people, right, in your space. Two, obviously, is free advertising to a niche audience. So anybody who's listening to the show right now has heard of Respondha, right, has heard of me. And even though if you don't just go and sign up for Respondha right away, at least whenever you come across it down the line, you've heard of us. And that brand awareness is something that companies have to spend millions of dollars, right,
100%, yeah.
To just get their brand name out there. And three is also, you know, helpful because whenever you dissect, probably, you know, transcribe this episode, or normally podcasters have some sort of website that they put the episodes on. And yeah. Guess what? You're going to have to mention Respondha somewhere. So
yep.
That in and out of itself is a backlink, as I mentioned. That also helps increase our domain authority and be able to get our web pages up in the search rankings, because Google and other search engines are like, okay, if Kevin is referencing Respondha, they must be legit. So, you know, that basically helps also getting our website up in the search ranks as well.
Makes total sense. So how do I use Respondha to actually do some of this link building outside of maybe like doing a podcast, for example?
Sure. So actually that's how our team landed this interview. So what they do is that fire up Respondha. Yeah. So what they did, basically they fired up Respondha. And basically Respondha, we have a template for podcast outreach. So they'll basically ask you to, so it literally has a step-by-step. So he's like, okay, name someone in your industry they respect. So it could be another founder, it could be another competitor. And then basically just write a little bit of bio and question. And what it does is that it will go and find all the podcast episodes that that person has been a guest on. That automatically tells you three things about those podcasts. One, they accept guests, right? Because not all podcasts do.
Wait, sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
So wait, so you searched for somebody like a guest, and you don't have to tell me who it was, but like somebody that's well-known that's been on other podcasts? Is that what I heard? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can actually pull up. So if you go and look up the conversation history you have with our team, I'm looking at this out right now. There we go.
So okay, now I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, so our team member, let me see, was it Vlad or Ivan?
I'd have to look at my email as well.
I'm looking at it. Vlad. All right.
Okay.
Shout out to Vlad for booking this interview.
Perfect.
So what he did, he's like, "Hi Kevin, just finished listening to your interview with Tammy McQuinn."
That
person is actually. And I love the tip about personalization at scale, yada yada yada. And I'm wondering if you're open to being introduced to someone I know in the SaaS space. Yada, yada, yada. So,
okay, wait, sorry. Can I ask a couple questions about this email then?
Go ahead.
So did Vlad have to listen to some of the interview? Because if he's pulling a tip out, where's that coming from?
That's coming from Respondha. So here's what we do. So
interesting.
Yeah. So what Respondha does, first of all, when you feed it a person of interest or a niche or target keyword, it goes and finds all the interviews for you and goes and finds the contact information of the right person at the podcast. And what it does, it pulls that either if you found that episode or if you've found the podcast, and it will pull the latest five episodes of the podcast and gives you the show notes of that podcast. So you can actually click through and also see the transcript. And you can easily personalize it outside of just the variables, right? So the emails are genuine emails. They are not like just mass sent emails that I'm sure you get every day, right? So that process is just streamlined so that it takes very little time for him to, you know, listen to part of the podcast, maybe even, you know, take some notes from the episode and show notes and transcript and personalize the sentence so that it comes across as not, doesn't come across as spammy. It comes across as saying, "Hey, Kevin, I actually did some research. You know, I'm not just reaching out to every single podcast that's out there." And we're not, right? There's some criteria it has to be met. Like the podcast has to be a popular show, which your show is in the top 10% globally. I'm not sure whether you know this, actually. but you have a very popular show. So great job on that, Kevin.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's been a lot of work. And also, you know, there's some criteria that has to be met. So that whole process, though, Responder walks you through it. So it's kind of hard to mess it up. So that's one of the things, is that a lot of people go about these type of outreach tactics, trying to do it manually, and just miss a few steps because it just takes so much time. But when Responder just puts it in front of you, it's just very easy to get that done correctly, so you're not just spamming people, but you still maintain a level of scale.
Yeah, interesting. Because you're right. Like, now I remember the email now that I'm looking at it, right? Like, I get, like you said, I get a ton of these. But the interesting thing, and I want to cover this because I think it's very important, because your competitors, in my experience, don't do this personalization. And you could correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably say, like, that's why you built the product.
Right.
Yeah, like, so yes, you definitely, like, your first line is, well, I don't need to read it, but I'll just summarize it. It's basically like, yeah, that you listened to her episode. You mentioned something that was clearly in the episode, because I remember the episode, because we did it in person. So it's interesting, because, like, it was like, this is episode number 66 and I'm in 500 and some, right? So for me to remember an episode I did probably 5+ years ago with somebody, but the fact that it was done in person, and I remember us talking about what you put in the email, which is interesting to me, because a lot of people don't, it's not that personal, right? And then you also mentioned that you put it like in you're going to put it in the newsletter, your newsletter, which is like cross promotion for me, which That's is right. obviously important, right? And then you also took that personalization information into like an internal newsletter, which is interesting. People don't, or sorry, with your team. And then you're basically asking, like, oh, can you introduce me to, like, you, which is fine. Like, obviously there's a call to action, which is makes sense. And then whether it's true or not is, like, been a long time listener of the show, right? Which is interesting, because it's like, well, if you're back that old of episode, the chances of that statement being true,
right,
is potentially high, right? Because of your first opening comment of, like, here's a tip that I actually found useful. I shared it with the team, and, you know, they're going to put it in their next newsletter. Like,
that's right.
It's like very personalized, even though and I wouldn't have guessed when I got that email that it was generated by a piece of software.
Right. That's, and it actually literally says sent by Responder at the end of it, if you take a look at it, because that's something that we do intentionally. Our customers actually don't have to put it in there.
Let me see.
The bottom of the signature says sent by Responder. But anyway, we have that that we're using our own software to actually do this type of outreach. And the goal was never to be deceptive, Kevin. And you know, I don't want you to ever feel like, right. So this is basically something that does require some research. And we don't reach out to a whole lot, actually. I think it's like 5 to 10 podcasts every week. And we normally get a booked interview that one a week. And that's the extent of what I can do with my time, right? It's not so much that we don't want to. It's just that there's some time restricts there. So what I'm trying to say is that this is something that is a lot of entrepreneurs, we've got an interesting story. This is very effective when it comes to getting things rolling. And other strategies, like, again, don't want to be too hung up on the podcast. There's tons of other things you could do. For example, one of the simplest strategies that I recommend folks to get started with, especially when it comes to either e-commerce or SaaS, is the listicle strategy, right? So figuring out, okay, what are some of the articles or blog posts that people have written on, for example, best presentation tools that haven't mentioned us, but they've mentioned a competing product or service, or best CBD gummies, or yada, yada, yada. So you get the idea. And basically reach out to those bloggers, find who's in charge. So that's, again, part of what Responder does, is finding the correct person on autopilot and getting the contact info. That took us like 2 years to build.
I can imagine. Because doing, like, if you had to do this manually with the web and or LinkedIn, this takes, like, I don't really want to necessarily go back to the podcasting thing, but to find 5 shows that you want to be on that are relevant to you and the guest is going to be take you an astronomical amount of time, right? And
that's
so
right.
It's the same with doing PR or trying to get whatever.
you right. can do all this stuff manually. It's just, it takes you so much time. As somebody exactly. that's used tools and done it manually, trust me, you want to use a tool.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to, you know, plug our tool too much here. It's just to come across as like a salesperson, but I'm just saying that we don't ever do any magic. Like I always say, even to our customers, I'm like, you can do what our software does manually. We just do it like 100x faster. So you can maintain a level of scale, experiment with different strategies, with different messaging, without having to sync like 6 hours of your day. You can do it in 6 minutes, right?
But I actually think that's a very good startup founder. Well, at any or busy person, it doesn't matter. Or like if you can automate something, and I get that you're not 100% automated and you can still personalize it. So I don't mean it like that. But if I'm a big believer in spending a little bit of money to save a ton of time, because right. if you save, take 6 hours, and I'm not kidding, 6 hours to 6 minutes to your example, well, that's a huge time savings, and the dollar amount you pay for, you know, Respondent is nothing, right?
Right. Yes. I mean, we're like starting $99 a month, yeah. billed monthly. So yes. I mean, it's supposed to be a no brainer, but you'd be surprised how many people ask for a discount.
Sure. Yeah.
We say no, but the thing is, you know, sometimes we have this stigma around paying for software or tools. Like you go to the grocery store and you buy like a bag of groceries and costs $120. I mean, at least DC, that's yes. And then you're like, all right, you're going to save a full working day every week at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, yeah. But I mean, that's why like we found like a lot of software companies, agencies, like these guys value their time like 100%. Crazy. And so, software that can help them save this amount of time is a no-brainer for them. So that's kind of why we've picked ICP to be those two. It's not to say that other types of companies, like if you own a blog or if you have some sort of publication, can use our platform. We have quite a few folks who use it for that purpose. But we found that like if you run a software company, you probably have a million other things on your plate. So you don't want to just have like a team of people managing this and cutting that headcount down, at least is just a no-brainer for the software tools.
Sure. The other thing that I want to cover too is you actually help people like find the person's email address as well, which can be time consuming.
Right. Yes. So that was actually one of the things that I had to come up with at the very beginning of Respondent, the creation of our platform, just because we had a team of 6 full-time staff members.
Okay.
Whose entire job was just to find contacts using tools, like not manually. Like we had like 3 or 4 different software tools, like Hunter.io and LinkedIn Sales Navigator, and all sorts of things, and just to make it work the way we wanted it, because there's no other software that was built for this type of outreach. Like there is a lot of sales tools, right? So you can pull up follow and say, okay, give me all the marketing managers in DC in SaaS, and they give you like a list of gazillion people, right?
Yeah.
Or ZoomInfo, these type tools that they're just built for salespeople. And on the other hand, there are tools that are built for finding contacts, but they're predominantly like generic contact information, like web scrapers. Like they give you like support at xyz.com, and then good luck trying to get a response from these. So there's not a software that would go and do research to find the right person for the websites that you want to reach out to and get the contacts. So it's kind of like a reverse sales, really, because you start with a website and kind of, and then also there's a lot more things involved with that, like with podcasts, like normally you want to look at the RSS feed, and like with different websites you want to also look at the contacts page, and sometimes you want to go on look at LinkedIn, and there's like 24 different data providers that Respondent is plugged into. So all of that had to be done manually, so that basically we brought it under automation. So right now when you load it up with a bunch of websites and that the Respondent helps you find, then you just click find contacts. And then it's an automation that runs in the background. Normally it takes a minute or so for each content piece or each opportunity, as we call it. And it will go and find the right person, gets the contact and verifies that contact information in real time, finds the social profiles to complement, and then gives you all the results. So you basically don't have to do anything. The reason why even that takes that long is that the machine is kind of putting all that stuff together.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And as somebody that's done that stuff manually, it's, yeah, you're just saving a ton of time, right?
Right.
I totally, yeah, it's totally meets a need. I'm also curious, and maybe what other ways can people use Respondent to promote their company, startup, business, etc., other than maybe the four we covered?
Right. So, see, funny enough, Kevin, I'm surprised of some ways that people find use cases for Respondent.
Okay.
It's like this, so the tech stack we built basically helps you go from websites to contacts. Right. So you load it up with any website in the world. It will go find the right person, get the contact information, and then you can reach out to them with a personalized email and LinkedIn and automated follow-ups. And we have some CRM and stuff built on top of it. So that's all we do, right? Yeah. But then the use cases for this is endless, right? Now sure. You can reach out to podcasts, you can reach out to blogs. We have people recruit affiliate partners, right? So let's say you start an affiliate program. How do you get people to actually promote you, right? So, okay, let's go find who's already an affiliate of a competing or another product in our space, right? That's already successful, gets a lot of traffic. So let's reach out to them, invite them to join our affiliate program. Some people use it even for sales, right? So we ourselves are dabbling into outbound, and okay, we have a list of marketing agencies that potentially could use Respondent. Let Respondent go find the right person to reach out to, right? There's quite a few different things you can do with a platform that is outside of the scope of link building per se, but that's the main use case that a lot of our customers are using it for. But normally once they get into the tool and get access to this power, I would say, they also find different ways in how you use it. So they kind of have different types of use cases. So we don't have a customer just using it for one particular purpose.
Got it. Interesting. So you've been at this a long time. What advice would you give maybe your younger self or people listening that you wish you knew maybe earlier?
About the business or in general?
In general. Or both.
So I guess it's just my own maturity. When I started in the business, I was quite young, and I tend to be very impatient at times. Okay. And I'm getting better over time as I'm getting older and getting a little more mature.
Sure.
You know, good things take time. That's what my co-founder says, who's been in the business for 20 plus years. And that's just something to keep in mind. You know, a lot of people get so excited when it comes to, you know, the idea of a Respondent sounds great on paper, right? So, but it's just so many uncertainties and like so many problems or hurdles that there's no way you can foresee that happens along the way. And the only way you can get through this is by being patient and persistent, right?
Yeah.
Showing up every day and do the work it needs to get done, even though it sucks and it feels like you're not moving. But these incremental changes and showing up every day, now 3 years passed, and you got a solid product, you got a solid customer acquisition strategy built, you got an evergreen flow of customers. So it's like going through that hurdle is that's where most people kind of give up on, because there's so many reasons to give up, and then you just kind of have to push it aside and push through and figure out things as you go. It's kind of like driving a car as you're changing the wheels, right? It's kind of the best. I didn't come up with this. Somebody said that. And I was like, that resonates with me. So,
no, I think that's really good advice. The other thing is, I want to cover this as well. You guys are actually hiring, and tech's all kind of doom and gloom right now. Mm-hmm. Do you maybe want to mention what types of people you're looking for? Because I know a lot of people are looking right now.
Yeah, so we're actually actively hiring for our main role right now that we focus on is a software engineers. Okay. So on front end, maybe back end, we always need some help building. We have a long list of new features on our roadmap and our backlog. So anyone we can help to help us get it done. We normally tend to work with folks that are like senior engineers just because we're a small team, we just don't have the capacity to train junior staff member to start. But yeah, any senior engineers who are interested, I'd love to hear from you.
And React, right?
React front end, yes. Yeah. That's the main stack, right?
Yeah, fair enough. We're kind of coming to the end of the show, but is there anything else you want to close with? And then we'll mention where people can get more information about Respondent?
Just one thing that I see a lot of companies kind of sort of miss, and again, I'm guilty of that myself, is not to have the shiny object syndrome, is that anytime you see a new technology or anytime you see a new strategy or tactic or hack, you jump on it without thinking of
good advice,
long-term opportunity cost, right? Of letting go of stuff, doing stuff that's working and kind of jumping on different things and kind of spread yourself thin. And so I would say whenever you find a channel that works, ignore all the other channel that don't and kind of double down on stuff that works already. And that's what I found to be the most effective way of doing things when it comes to all aspects of the business.
No, I think that's really good advice, but we're out of time. So how about we close the show with mentioning, Mark, where people can get more information about yourself, Respondent, and any other links you want to mention?
Sure thing. So yes, Respondent.com. That's we've got a lot of free educational content out there. So definitely check us out. But myself personally, my name is Farzad Rashidi. Aren't a whole lot of us out there. So I'm pretty easy to spot normally on LinkedIn. That's my main channel. So feel free to stop by and say hi, and I'd love to hear from folks.
Perfect, Farzad. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be on the show, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you, and have a good rest of your day, man.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Kevin.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at buildingthefutureshow.com to join the free community, sign up for our newsletter, or to sponsor the show. The music is done by Electric Mantra. You can check him out at electricmantra.com. And keep building the future.